So, tonight, we're going to look at John chapter 10, 27 to 29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and go with us. Help me as I share this word, and just make us better for having been here. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're looking at what we call eternal security. This is a bunch of big words for a fairly simple doctrine that basically says, once you're saved, you're always saved. That's it. We're done. We learned that you can know that you are saved, but can you know that you stay saved? Yes, you can. So what does it mean to be saved? Well, it means that every sin is forgiven. Past, present, future, we're all gone. That's it. Now, you can still sin and put a block between you and God, but once you confess it, it's gone. You're already forgiven for every sin you will ever sin. It means that Jesus lives in us if we'll just listen to him. We can have peace, power, and purpose in our lives by just following the leading of the Holy Spirit who's working for Jesus. And it means we're going to heaven. There used to be, as I've said before, a way of trying to lead people to the Lord by saying, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Because if you don't go to heaven, you're going to hell, and try to scare people. My pastor, when I was a very young boy, at one point, people were talking about how you shouldn't scare these little kids by telling them about hell. And standing right there in a church service, he said, I am so glad that a Sunday school teacher scared the hell out of me rather than trying to push heaven into me. And that's true. We need to understand our position in order to get saved. We need to know that we're sinners. But we also need to know that once we've given our life to Christ, we're on our way to heaven. That little commercial that keeps coming up, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And Pat will tell you, she gets all irritated because I always immediately say, yes, actually I do. But how do we know we can't lose all of this? Well, as we said, it's all in the Bible. And so we know what God's purpose is. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, you probably weren't keeping track, but there were 10 things that he said cannot separate us from the love of Jesus. A lot of them were opposites. Neither way, no matter what, you cannot be separated from the love of Jesus. The way they used to always say it was, it doesn't matter how long you go in the wrong direction. As soon as you turn around, there's Jesus. He'd been following you the whole time. We also have God's purpose. And that's Pat's favorite verse. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God finishes what he starts. Some people wear t-shirts that say, "Don't get upset, God's not finished with me yet." Okay? So, God will finish. He will turn us into who He wants us to be. Just the amount of time it takes is how much resistance we put up to it. Then we have one that's a little bit hard. God's predestination. Romans 8:29-30. "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither..." Where did I put this? Okay. Oh, there we go. "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified." Now, this has been used for a false doctrine. Some people get upset that I say it that way because there are so many people who believe this. But I believe it's a false doctrine. We are predestined to be like Jesus. But we get predestined to be like Jesus when we give our life to Him. That's what He wants. It's not that He chose us specifically and said, "Oh, I'll have Roxanna, but I don't really want Sherry." You know, we're not. It doesn't come out that way. It's all who come are free to come. Now, we know, God knows who's coming and who's not. Therefore, since He knows that both Roxanna and Sherry have given their life to Christ, He has predestined for them a life in heaven. And He's making them more and more and more like Him at all times.
When do we go?
Let me assure you, I have been at this, well, I guess you would say 66 years since I've been saved, and I'm not done yet. It's not necessarily really pleasant, but the longer it goes, the better you get, and the less He has to knock off, you know, edges. The next one is Calvary's provision, which is Hebrews 10:14, which says, "Because by one sacrifice He's made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Jesus gave His life on the cross. God Himself died, humanly, not divinely, obviously. But there's a song, "How Many Kings?" And it says, "How many kings would lay down their throne and come and die for me?" Well, God did. And now that He has done this, now that God has seen His Son put to death for the penalty for our sin, He's certainly not going to say, "Oh, well, you know, you weren't just right at the moment you died. You weren't just right, so that's it. You know, that's too bad." This is another one of those things that I've told you about before that I often tell people, "I don't know who you think you're talking about, but I've known God, lo, these many years, and it ain't Him. He doesn't work like this." Now, people can blow that off, but once you've been around, you get to the point where you know God where you see Him, when you see Him, and you know who's not God. And because of Calvary, we have been made perfect forever, at least in the eyes of God. One example I heard somebody talk about was, it's like there was the book of your life, and they tore the cover off of it, threw the insides out of it, and stuck Jesus' life in there under your name. Because once you gave yourself to Christ, now God sees Jesus in you, and that's all He sees. All that other stuff is gone. You're made perfect forever, at least in the eyes of God. Saints have a new position. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I memorized this one. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I have used this so many times for people who want to hold on to sins. And I've said, I had a girl who was known for being extremely promiscuous, and she couldn't let it go because the devil was beating her up with it, is what it was. And I said, well, but are you a virgin? And she said, good grief, what have I been telling you? Of course I'm not a virgin. And I said, no, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. So are you a virgin? Well, in that case, I guess I am. I said, then go out and act like it. Go forth and sin no more. And she was bouncing off the walls for a week. I don't take credit for this. It's in the book. Okay? All I did was tell her something that's in the book. And she goes, oh, that was the scripture I needed. I'm going, good. That's why God put it in there. You are not you anymore. You have now become a new creation that looks like Jesus. And then there is the believer's eternal provision. John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. And you're not crossing back, guys. The one that I like the best of all is John 1:12. It said, as many as believed, he gave the power to become the children of God. You think God is just going to kick his children out? I mean, parents don't kick their children out if they can help it. I mean, if it's bad enough and you have to for your own good, you could do it. God can fix things. And he's not going to kick us out. If we've given our life to him, he's going to keep trying to fix us. He's not going to let us go. We have eternal life. We are not condemned. We have passed from death to life. It's all present right now. All of the past is gone. The future is the future, but we have a bright future. And all of this is permanent. It can't be taken away. So what does this mean for us? Well, salvation is permanent. Once you give your life to Christ, if you really did it, if you were serious, if you fulfill the requirements for eternal life, it's permanent. It can't be taken away. I don't think you could give it away. But if somebody said that, I can't really argue it. I don't have a good argument for that. But at any rate, God says he holds you and nobody can get you out of his hand. So when somebody tries to pull you away from God and you just say, Lord, I need you to hold me tight, and they will be miserably failure. We all still sin. We must get right over and over again. But we don't get resaved. So I was telling you about this guy who just, he got saved several times a day. Because his denomination didn't believe in permanent salvation. And I told him, I said, you're a sinner. You sin. You're going to have to be saved dozens of times a day if you can't get it permanent. But Jesus said he paid for all of your sins, not just in the past, not just right now, but all of your future sins. He's already paid for them. But God wants you to communicate with him. I got out of fellowship with you. I need to get back in. And God goes, not a problem. You're back. Come on, let's go. We will deal with Christian sinning next week. What does a Christian do when he sins? He doesn't lose his salvation, though. That's the important part. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and help us to remember that you love us and that you have us in your hands and we're not going anywhere but to go to be with you. Once someone told me that I might die, and I said, I don't care. And they got very upset. But it's because I know that if I'm absent from my body, I'm going to be present with you. And I like the concept of that. Go with us. Help us to remember you're always right there when we need you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, and you get a new Christ body, which is in you, far superior.